Good morning and happy feast day of Saint John Paul II. So I think Legionaries of Christ in general, we love John Paul II. First of all, because I think a lot of us grew up with him. I mean, I vaguely remember when he was elected Pope in 1979. I just basically remember as a little kid, I don't think I knew that Paul VI had died, but I remember vaguely something about we had a pope, and then he died like a month later, and everyone was like, what's going on? John Paul I, he only lasted 33 days. And I vaguely remember that, okay, we have a new pope, and then that was basically it. So basically all of my formative years, up until right before I was ordained a deacon, John Paul II was always the pope. And I believe, a lot of people say, he will go down as one of the great popes of history. He is a great saint. He accomplished a lot. I think a few things that he's, everyone knows, talks about the fall of communism, no small thing. I think in terms of life in the United States, in the Catholic Church, so much of the Catholic dynamism that we see right now, if you look at Catholic youth and young adult ministry, you see all the activities that are happening for young adults in the city, so many of those things have kind of at their root John Paul II. So the first thing I would say that he left that is leaving a lasting impact on the church was his famous theology, the body. There's any number now of things, even Made for More, which we started here, would not exist had John Paul II not preached his theology of the body and had it not taken root in, in modern society at large, at least in active Catholic circles, teaching in a completely new approach to what does it mean to be a man and a woman, and what is the church's teaching in this greater sense of our vocations, and giving clarity and light to young people who want to live virtuous, holy lives. So theology of the body was a great gift. John Paul II was the one who started the World Youth Days. You know, he's had the largest crowds in human history are attributed to John Paul II whenever he would have his World Youth Days, and, you know, 1, 2, 3. In Manila, I don't know what the number was. I've heard up to 5, that may be exaggerated, but at least over 4 million people in one place, in one gathering, to see, you know, an old priest basically talk. Some of my most beautiful memories were at the death of John Paul II. I've told this story before, but I was studying theology in Rome. I was getting close to being ordained a deacon. And frequently I would accompany a priest up to Florence. We would take a train and go up to Florence. And most of the time, Florence is a gorgeous city. And the weather was nice. And, you know, the art, and it's just really nice. We'd go up there and celebrate an English Mass for all the expats. Most of the time I was totally happy to go up to Florence. And this one weekend, it's like, I don't want to go to Florence, because everyone knew John Paul II's going to die this weekend. And he did. He died on Saturday. He had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. Saturday is always kind of Mary's day of the week, which was the vigil of the Feast of Divine Mercy. We know the Divine Mercy devotion came from St. Faustina, a Polish nun, Krakow. And he had been instrumental as a bishop in helping get that devotion spread. The first Mass of Divine Mercy celebrated in the Vatican, I was there, it was under John Paul II. The canonization of St. Faustina, again, under John Paul II. So it was very dear to his heart. But I remember a week before, which was Easter, it was 6 days before, we went to the Vatican. And St. Peter's Square holds about 100,000 people. And as you know, it's got the church, the basilica, and then the colonnade that comes around and opens up. And there are these columns, gigantic, thick pillars. And normally the Pope would give his blessing from his window. Well, the Pope had recently had his throat operated on, and he couldn't even speak. He tried, they gave him the microphone. He insisted on trying to give a blessing. He tried, and he couldn't even speak, and you saw him get kind of annoyed, and eventually just kind of did this blessing and kind of pushed the microphone aside. But the people were there, the square was overflowing, and in between the columns, everyone just wanted to get a view of the window. So wherever there was a column, or wherever there was a gap in the columns, there were these lines of people going out into the streets. It was like spokes sticking out, because the people understood, we are witnessing the last days of a saint. And the holiness of John Paul II, the more his body deteriorated and decayed, the more his holiness was revealed. And something beautiful about his life was, when he was young and vigorous and strong, he did great things, but his greatest impact on the church, the moments of greatest unity and beauty, I would say, were the moments where he was physically weakest. And he simply never quit. He simply allowed Christ to use him no matter what. He never allowed illness or fatigue or anything else to become an excuse. He understood the value of the cross. And he understood that it is precisely as St. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So today, like I said, it's a great day to celebrate a great saint, a saint who has marked the church that we live in today. For all you Mexicans, I remember the famous cheer when he went to Mexico, Juan Pablo, hermano, ya eres Mexicano, Juan Pablo. I don't know in the Dominican Republic what you guys would have invented. I'm sure you guys invented something cool for him too. But anyway, that's my shtick, and I'm sticking to it.